We know that you want to build your family on the right foundation from the very start, the foundation of Jesus Christ. Concordia Publishing House offers more than 8,000 products for churches, schools, and homes, dedicated customer service, and an experienced staff to help you focus on what matters most. Click to connect at cph.org. Concordia Publishing House, listening, responding, providing for God's people. Concordia Publishing House, cph.org.
I thought I was a pretty good guy. But folks, let me tell you something. Good guys go to hell. I got down off my high horse. I got down on my knees. And Stevie and I prayed that the Lord would come into my life and forgive me of my sins and be my Lord and Savior.
And lest we get on our high horse and think this is unique to some other place, remember that during the Crusades and the Inquisition, people committed terrible deeds in the name of Christ. In our home country, slavery and Jim Crow all too often was justified in the name of Christ.
That's NASCAR's Dale Waltrip and President Barack Obama speaking last week at the National Prayer Breakfast in Washington, D.C. These prayer breakfasts, what are they? That they're a civil event. They are quasi-religious. You can hear there's all kinds of, I think there's even prayer at the prayer breakfast. I'm not sure about that, but I think there is. And people give their speeches, and it is a virtual factory of sound bites and of actualities for the news. But how does the news cover them? And if you were going to write the lead from this last one, where we had two references to people coming down off their high horses or getting up on their high horses, what would that lead properly be? Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc., coming to you live from the studios of Lutheran Public Radio in Collinsville, Illinois. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. Terry Mattingly of the All Religion column for the Universal Syndicate joins us here for the first half hour or so to talk about the National Prayer Breakfast. A little bit later, Chris Roseborough will join us for This Week in Pop American Christianity. It's a Valentine's Day coming up. Everybody, husbands are figuring this out right now, ordering the flowers, doing everything they need to do for the weekend's festivities. And so are the seeker-driven churches. They're preparing for one of the high holy days of American evangelicalism, St. Valentine's Day weekend. And as you can expect, the theme will be, well, not unlike, say, the blockbuster movie that's coming out soon, 50 Shades of Grey, sex. That's the theme in Pop American Christianity. Chris Roseborough will walk us through some of that a little bit later here. Dr. Miriam Grossman will join us. We'll talk about how you talk to your kids about that movie, 50 Shades of Grey, that is, well, it's been called pornography by not only those who are of, well, what society would consider the more prudish nature. It's racy. It's cutting edge. It was a book. Now it's the movie. And we'll talk with Dr. Miriam Grossman about it. Bill McKeever will join us after that. You might have heard the story about the excommunication of a Mormon podcaster. He still considers himself a Mormon. However, he rejects the very foundation of what most Mormons are supposed to believe. We'll find out what's behind that story with Bill McKeever of Mormonism Research Ministry. Now, you can join us for the next 2 hours with questions or comments, 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943. Send us an email right here in the studio, talkback@issuesetc.org. Send us a tweet @issuesetc. Or our beloved on-demand listeners, please, if you need to, if you'd like to, join the conversation with questions, comments, show suggestions, whatever it may be. The Issues Etc. comment line is open 24/7, 618-223-8382, 618-223-8382. Joining us to talk about the National Prayer Breakfast, Terry Mattingly, director of the Washington Journalism Center at the Council for Christian Colleges and Universities, author of the weekly On Religion column for the Universal Syndicate, and founder and editor of GetReligion.org. Terry, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Glad to be here.
Terry, if you were writing the lead covering the National Prayer Breakfast, what would it be?
Well, this is a strange case in that I think they actually got the lead pretty correct, which was Obama's focus on equating Christian actions in the wars of the Middle Ages with the Crusades with the Islamic State and what it's doing today in the Middle East. I think to some degree that in terms of conventional definitions of news, that really was the lead here. I'm not faulting the press for that. What intrigued me so much about this year's prayer breakfast, and so much so that I just wrote a column and shipped it out this morning to the Universal Syndicate. I was fascinated by the fact that here we had two completely different American voices, and representing different parts of the country and what different parts of the country consider important. And I referred to it as NASCAR America and NPR America. And at the beginning of it all is the belief that only the political is real. This is something that you and I have talked about many times. Only what can be framed as politics is real. So thus, we had stories about the prayer breakfast where we had Republicans jumping up and down on the president for making this comment about the Crusades. What we didn't have was actual interviews with church historians or experts on the Crusades talking about whether his remark was accurate and whether a war of marauding and often horrible Christian armies returning to the Middle East in an attempt to take back the Holy Land and protect the churches that were living there at the time, whether that equates what is happening with ISIS right now. We didn't see experts talking about this. We saw this treated totally as a political game with two political camps arguing about something political. So there's that story. And once again, the religion element got very, very little attention. And there was a lot of press coverage saying conservatives are really upset about this remark, but it never quoted why many religious people were so upset about what the president said. It only quoted the politicians. And then you've got Mr. NASCAR, Darrell Waltrip, in this highly elite interfaith gathering, standing up and giving his Christian testimony, including a very brass knuckles, no doubt about it, statement that if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you are going to hell. With the president sitting there right at his hand and the Dalai Lama sitting a table or two in front of him. And in parts of America, it's normal to talk like that. In other parts of America, you could not possibly have said anything more offensive. So in another way, I was kind of curious that people didn't consider what Waltrip said news. Whether you liked it or whether you considered it offensive, he essentially said the Dalai Lama's going to hell. He didn't wave his hand at him or anything like that, but it was an intriguing event, and only the political got covered.
So basically, even with the Washington Post, that focused on probably the biggest element coming out of from the president, coming out of the National Prayer Breakfast, rightly focused on that, they missed, it sounds like what you're saying, they missed the balancing factor of saying, well, okay, if people are outraged, including Christians, let's talk to maybe, I don't know, a Christian historian, maybe one of these guys at a Catholic university spent his entire career, studying the Crusades, and see why he might find those comments not just offensive, but inaccurate.
Yeah. In other words, what are the actual facts about the Crusades? And there was one other element of what Obama said that I pointed out in my column today, and I don't think I've read it much elsewhere. Essentially, what Obama said is that there is a tendency in religion to sin by believing that your beliefs are totally right and believing that God speaks uniquely to you, and that he calls that a tendency to sin and to twist the faith. And I thought that was fascinating, especially coming after a case where some man had just stood up and, in effect, done exactly that. They missed that angle. Then there's a third angle, which the president said it's wrong to think your faith is exclusively right, and then he said the goal of the modern Christian should be to follow the teachings of the faith and God's commandments and his laws as if we can be certain about those, right?
So the journalist listening carefully would have noticed a logical dissonance in the president's comments?
Well, I mean, if you thought about it theologically, there were big problems. I guess if you thought about it politically, it just went sailing right by. In other words, it's okay to believe that God speaks clearly and that biblical truth is knowable and religious truth is knowable when it's on subjects of justice and peace, you know, and love and whatever. But the Bible doesn't speak with authority on other topics that he would consider, under his liberal mainline Protestant perspective, less important. The Bible doesn't speak with authority there. And in fact, if you think it does, you're the kind of dangerous person who thinks God only talks to you and you are equal to the Islamic State and the Crusaders and whatever. In other words, there are sins of religious certainty, but they only apply to certain subjects. And who gets to determine what subjects religious traditions speak certitively on and which ones they don't? Whereas, how do we know when the Islamic State is hearing from God and when it didn't? How do we know when the Crusaders were hearing from God and when they weren't? How do we know when Obama's hearing from God and when he's not? You get my point? You can't run away from that question.
Is part of the dilemma the venue itself, the National Prayer Breakfast, which is a strange animal?
Yeah. Yeah, year after year, it's important for listeners to realize it is not an ecumenical event. We get the word ecumenical, frequently we get it mixed up with the word interfaith. Ecumenical means multiple churches are present and talking to one another. Kind of the Nicene Creed crowd is together, and it might be Baptist and Assemblies of God and Catholic and Orthodox, but they agree on some things, they disagree on others. That's an ecumenical crowd. The National Prayer Breakfast, even though the committee that runs it has an identity of being pretty conservative and pretty even evangelical Christian or whatever, the National Prayer Breakfast is completely, totally, and utterly interfaith in its public image. There are all kinds of people sitting in that room that don't agree with each other on the Trinity or who God is or how you pray or whatever. Yet it's called a prayer breakfast. It's actually turned into kind of one of the high feast days of civil religion in America. You know, the vague God that loves America is kind of who's there to be worshipped. In my column today, I said that there was blue religion and red religion in the same venue. I almost said this was a day for blue prayers and red prayers, and then suddenly realized I think some leader of the Southern Baptist Convention years ago, things didn't go well when he said that God only listened to some prayers and not other prayers, and it hit me that that's not what I was saying at all. That what we were dealing with here was two essential American world views in the same room with one superstar in one world, the world of NASCAR, standing up and speaking, and then the ultimate superstar in the world of NPR, which would be a Democratic president, getting up and speaking. And what did these two worldviews have together, have in common? Not a whole lot, but there were some interesting overlaps. But I was intrigued with the use of the term high horse. I wondered if we could see an early draft of Obama's remarks. Would the words high horse be in there? And just for the listeners that are not familiar with the event, Waltrip said, you've got to get off your high horse, get down on your knees, repent, and get saved, is essentially what he said. Later, in the very quote about the Crusades and the Inquisition, Obama began it by saying, and if you think only, essentially he said, if you think only Muslims do this violent stuff, you need to get down off your high horse and face what Christians did in the Crusades, the Inquisition, the Jim Crow era lynchings, etc., which I thought was fascinating. Waltrip used high horse for himself. I had to get down off my high horse, repent, and I think you need to do so as well. Whereas Obama used it as, he still believes there's sinners and there's people who need to humble themselves, but now it's the Christians who need to repent of the sin of false religion and twisted religion and abused religion. Fascinating language. I really wanted to know if Obama had high horse in his original draft, or was he thinking kind of at what Waltrip had just said, and that just ended up in there?
Okay, so as best as you can tell, my initial reaction to the president's comments was he was using the occasion, as presidents always do. I'm not faulting him for this. He was using the occasion of the National Prayer Breakfast to respond to a very common criticism that comes to him from largely conservative evangelicals that he has turned a blind eye to the dangers of Islam. And he's trying to set the record straight and say, no, I see clearer than everybody else, and I even see the dangers of a Christianity around America,
right.
Something like that. That's one of the message he was trying to get across. Do you
he
think that's accurate?
He had to find a moral equivalence. At some point, he had to be able to say, we're sinners too, which, of course, is true. And, yes, Crusader armies did some horrible things, I might note, including massacring a lot of Eastern Christians by mistake because they couldn't tell one Arab in different clothing from another. I mean, there was a lot of bad stuff that went on there. At the same time, he made giant historical comparisons that there are historians who simply would disagree with that, and this would include historians across the political and cultural spectrum. So, once again, though, Darrell Waltrip was looking inward into his own heart and then saying, this is how I found salvation. Christian faith says this is how you need to find salvation. So you had a blatantly religious story there. And then in Obama, you had language of sin, humility, mistakes, get down off your high horse, applied to, you know, to the biggest story in the world today. The latter is news, the former is not. I just find that, as always, interesting.
Terry Mattingly is our guest. We're talking about the National Prayer Breakfast on this Thursday afternoon, November the 12th. When we come back, do these two worldviews, the NASCAR and the NPR worldview, have anything in common? We'll be right back.
Listen to the best of the church's music for the Epiphany season at LutheranPublicRadio.org. Sacred music for the Epiphany season, 24/7, LutheranPublicRadio.org.
Did you know that Luther Academy has been providing continuing education for confessional Lutheran pastors and lay people worldwide for more than 20 years? Luther Academy promotes confessional Lutheran theology through conferences, scholarly exchanges, and publications like Logia, the Confessional Lutheran Dogmatic Series, and Luther Digest. Find out more about Luther Academy and sign up for their free email newsletter at lutheracademy.com. lutheracademy.com.
Smartest listeners in radio. You're listening to Issues Etc.
We have a special offer for Issues Etc. Reformation Club members. If you join or upgrade your membership in our monthly or annual giving program during January or February, we'll add the new Concordia Psalter to the list of current membership benefits. T-shirts, books, broadcast transcripts, and advertising for your confessional Lutheran congregation. You can find out the benefits of being an Issues Etc. confessor, apologist, reformer, or patron at issuesetc.org. Look for the picture of Martin Luther posting the 95 Theses. Or contact Craig, 618-223-8385. Or Craig at issuesetc.org. Join or upgrade your membership in the Issues Etc. Reformation Club in January or February, and we'll send you the new Concordia Psalter along with your other premiums. The Issues Etc. Reformation Club. Welcome back to Issues Etc. We're talking about the National Prayer Breakfast, some of the things that were said there, and also the two worldviews that were represented there. As Terry Mattingly, our guest, has said, the NASCAR worldview, Darrell Waltrip, and the NPR worldview, President Obama, using similar rhetoric but in very different ways. Terry, I'm wondering whether or not these two worldviews, as we've outlined them here, have any common ground other than that they both get invited to the National Prayer Breakfast.
Well, those people get to vote, and that's why I called That's why I called it red religion and blue religion, because if you look at American politics, if you look back over the last 25 years, roughly post Roe v. Wade, survey after survey after survey indicates that Americans believe a lot of different things on foreign policy. We believe a lot of different things on issues of economics and whatever. But if you want to get to what really divides Americans, it's moral and cultural issues. And if you want to determine how people will vote in a national election race, either president or at the level of the Senate, if you want to know how people will vote, the single greatest indicator of how they will vote is how often they go to worship services. So there's no way to pry religion, the relevance of religious discussions and religious divisions, out of that. Now, does that mean that there are no religious liberals? Of course it doesn't mean that. It just means there's a lot more traditional religious believers in all world faiths who go to worship over and over and over, who tend to then be moral conservatives in kind of an ancient sense of the word when it comes to the big button divisive moral and social issues. So what is the prayer breakfast? Is it a political event or a religious event? I'd prefer to say it's an American event.
What do you mean?
It's messed up. It's both. Our culture is both. And you cannot, in American society, pry the two apart. We are red America, we are blue America, but we are still one country, and that shows up in our national discourse. And there's a reason right now, just to leap to another story, there's a reason right now that it looks like the New York Times has about 12 reporters on the ground in Alabama covering the same-sex marriage dispute down there. Because I think the Time ultimately knows that at some point, judges will have to force same-sex marriage onto the Bible Belt. It will never be voted in. Legal judicial elites will have to establish it from the Supreme Court and then down. That's going to be a very messy picture because, once again, this is America, and it's very hard to pry the moral and the cultural away from the political. All of that every year shows up at the prayer breakfast. While everybody smiles at each other and it's very peaceful and everybody kind of, you know, ends up even doing a little bit of praying at a prayer breakfast, the tensions there are every year, are there year after year between these camps.
But it sounds like the irony here is that the kind of lowest priority at the national prayer breakfast is actual prayer.
It's actual prayer. And the highest priority is civil religion. What can we try to find to evoke the name of God about what's good in our national life? But the minute you start asking people to describe what's good in our national life, that means you have a shared view of what is the good. And is that true in American life today? On moral and cultural issues, the answer is no.
Finally, Terry, why is it that even the, otherwise very competent reporting of the Washington Post almost immediately shifts, as you said earlier, shifts the tenor of the story and the president's comments from religion to politics?
Well, because as you and I have noted many, many times, it's because in the view of most journalists, politics is real. Because it's the material world, it's the powers that are around us, it's what real life is. Money, power, institutions, government programs, etc. It's what's real. Religion is only real to the degree that it affects those same things. And religion's claims that there is anything transcendent, anything permanent, anything that gets to judge this world, that's all pretend. Which I would argue, if you want to flash back a couple of decades for a comparison, I'm still not sure that many people have thought, many modern journalists have thought much about the civil rights movement and about what Martin Luther King Jr. was saying. Because what Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. was saying over and over is that there is a higher reality than our laws, the laws of the state. And eventually, that higher justice, that higher truth will need to judge our nation, and will need to judge how we live and how our children are raised. Folks, that's a claim of religious authority being higher than the authority of the state. In a strange sort of way, the president seemed to say that that kind of certainty is dangerous. And I think he'd probably want to rethink that.
Terry Mattingly is director of the Washington Journalism Center at the Council for Christian Colleges and Universities. He's author of the weekly On Religion column for the Universal Syndicate and founder and editor of GetReligion.org. Terry, thanks for being our guest.
Glad to be here.
When we come back on this Thursday afternoon, February the 12th, well, the 12th is only 2 days before the 14th, and the 14th, of course, is the famous holiday. It's a Hallmark holiday named for a real saint, Valentine, St. Valentine's Day. And oddly enough, in Pop American Christianity, while they usually eschew the traditional, the historic church calendar, they do have a church calendar of their own, and one of their high holy days, of course, is St. Valentine's Day. As much as in evidence this week in Pop American Christianity, when we talk with Chris Rosebro, the plan for many of the seeker-driven churches in Pop American Christianity, well, you guessed it, sermons themed on sex for the Valentine's Day weekend. We'll be right back. Chris Rosebro, Fighting for the Faith, will be our guest. Have you recently graduated from high school or college and are still making up your mind about your future career? Here's an opportunity to serve your neighbor through an extended, uniquely Lutheran service program. It's called the Lutheran Youth Corps. Find out more about the Lutheran Youth Corps at lcms.org/youthcorps. Life together through witness and mercy, the Lutheran Youth Corps. lcms.org/youthcorps.
Epiphany Lutheran Church in Door, Michigan, gathers to receive our Lord's gifts in word, baptism, and supper every Sunday morning at 9:15, Bible study at 11. Join us at 4219 Park Lane in Door, or visit us on the web, epiphanydoor.org. Christ-centered, cross-focused, historic, confessional, liturgical, Epiphany Lutheran Church in Door, Michigan, epiphanydoor.org, 616-681-0791.
There are nearly 20 million college students in the United States. 40% will stop going to church during college. 50% will never return. The Lutheran Church Missouri Synod is seeking to meet this challenge through LCMSU. Why? Because 100% of college students matter to God and to His church. College is tough. You need Jesus. We'll help. LCMSU. Check us out at lcms.org/lcmsu.
Steadfast Lutherans, people who believe the traditional Lutheran preaching, liturgy, and hymnody continue to deliver Christ crucified for sinners today. The Reformation attempted to return the Church's focus on what we do for God back to a focus on what God does for us, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures. Some things never change. The gospel is still under attack from inside and outside the Church. To see how Lutheran doctrine and practice preserve the gospel, visit steadfastlutherans.org.
Your comprehensive source for information, teaching, and truth. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Messiah Lutheran, Seattle, Washington. Grace Lutheran, McPherson, Kansas. St. Paul's Lutheran, Bridgeport, Nebraska, Our Savior Lutheran, Raleigh, North Carolina, St. Paul Lutheran, Hancock, Maryland, Messiah Lutheran, Keller, Texas, St. John's Lutheran, Maple Grove, Minnesota, Grace Lutheran, Parker, Colorado, and Our Redeemer Lutheran, Harrington, Kansas. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. go to our website, issuesetc.org, and click support. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll advertise your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. Journal. Issuesetc.org, click support. The Issues Etc. 300.